Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thanks to Dale Murphy for stopping by. Great conversation with Mike Conti last hour about the Five Stripes guys back in action. This hour, we will talk to one of the, what was it, Mike? Top five paid Falcons.
Not getting a man's pocket, but it's one of our, again, it's an important piece of the operation on the offensive side. We'll give you that clue, but that'll be coming. Why are we keeping it a secret, by the way? We can't just say it?
No, I just, there's no reason to. Find out at 420.
Bo, are you cool with this? He's been keeping this like a military secret here, like the Manhattan Project.
All right, so if you want to go there, I'll pull off the magic trick, Mike, here. Since you're
No,
this is the problem. You always ask these questions, and then I have to go into it.
No, forget it. Keep it secret.
Here's the deal.
Keep it secret.
All right.
I'm the kind of guy.
I know.
I would sneak down into the basement where they hide the packages, and I would get the X-Acto knife out from my dad's tool desk, and I would like do a little slit right down the side so I could open it up and see what my presents were, then tape it back up, and they were never the wiser.
No.
Because I'm a sneak like that. I can't keep a secret. I got to know.
But no, we will have a Falcon on with this in about 20 minutes. But seriously, find out he is one of the top eight guys and a big part of what we need to do. And we'll ask him questions, obviously, heading to into the Eagles game. Dan Quinn spoke today, but we also heard from Doug Peterson, the head football coach of the Eagles. And here's the deal with Doug Peterson. He's not looking at last week and going, they're terrible. He understands this is the National Football League. And if you have that mindset, they'll roll in here on Sunday night and we will roll them. So he said, listen, what you saw last week with that Falcon football team is not indicative of what kind of team they are. And he even gave credit, Mike, to Grady Jarrett, calling him one of the best defensive tackles in the league. And he says, listen, this is a great playoff caliber football team we're going to play on Sunday. We know we got our business cut out for us. So he's not taking what he saw last week for granted.
Right.
I just bring that up because I think sometimes people go, oh, the Eagles. It's the NFL, man. They'll do that, and the same thing that happened to us last week will happen to them when you come in here, you know, lackadaisical.
He talked about it, says, you know, they had some problems with turnovers, and once again, that kind of took them. Basically, he's almost echoing exactly what Mike Mularkey said, if you want to go to the Philly News and get the whole quote. But he goes on to say that, yeah, they obviously had a game plan that kind of went out the window with the turnovers. But as you said, Carl, still think it's a very good football team. Went on to talk about, obviously, Matt Ryan, the firepower they have on offense. You know, whether it's Sanu, even said, look at the film they've looked at. Whether it's Sanu lining up a quarterback or just where Julio Jones is, you've got to be prepared for everything against this offense.
And he's right. So, I mean, things were not clicking, but that doesn't mean things won't be clicking for Sunday night. By the way, Falcons asking guys, our fans, Dan Quinn specifically says he expects to have a great home field advantage on Sunday, but they're also asking people to show up early, man, and they're going to have something in your cup holder. They're a cell phone lighter filter. A light filter, that is, that's going to go over your cell phone. Basically, we're going to have a sea of red. A sea of red before kickoff.
They're doing this around soccer stadiums around the world where, you know, you put that filter over, you hit the light, little flashlight, and poof, and it looks really cool. If you were at the MLS All-Star game last year against Juventus, they had those really cool wristbands that all lit up. Those things were wild. So it's kind of neat, man. So get there early. Get your butt in the seats. Real quick before we get to the dog report.
Yeah,
we know we got all the new bells and whistles. And Carl and I, we've had season tickets from the jump. You're going back, and I was, you know, at the Dome. And I understand it. There's a lot of first-timers coming to Mercedes-Benz. That's cool. But you still want to be in your seat when the Falcons run out of the tunnel. We sing the anthem. That's generally how it's supposed to work at a major sporting event. Look at Minnesota. It's a sea of purple. A few dots of red because we had some guys that made the trip. But they're in their seats making noise. They got the horn.
I mean,
we're supposed to have it. We had a great home field advantage at Packers. Remember that Sunday night game? To start the opening up of Mercedes-Benz. And we, unfortunately, I got to be honest with you, we really lost that home field. Let's get it back.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we can't have it. There's just about being engaged and being on time and then cheering, man. That's what we're there for. That's what it's about. We could be the difference. And I say that on Sunday because that's what home field is about. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. Find us on social media. 929 The Game. That's our radio station. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. We're talking about Antonio Brown. We'll get you caught up on that story as well. Today, a lot of people following that and seeing what's going to happen. Bill Belichick did speak to the media today. More on that situation coming up.
No comment.
On that situation coming up, and we'll let you know what we think about it. Because, again, you know, you could go either way on this. And as I said today on Twitter, is this a false accused situation or is this seriously consent? And now she just wants to get paid. We will talk more about it. Right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Well, Mike, they know they're going to have a big crowd. So Georgia is getting ready for the overflow.
Yeah, man, you're going to have folks going bananas trying to get into Sanford Stadium. That weekend's just going to be nuts. We're going to be at the Grindhouse, by the way, right? All the shows going to be up there on Friday, getting ready for Georgia and Notre Dame. But again, Georgia is anticipating a huge crowd, expanding seats. So if you've heard about this, what does an overflow crowd mean? They're going to set an all-time attendance record for Sanford Stadium. Apparently, Carl, the Bulldogs promised 8,000 tickets to the Fighting Irish. Trouble is Sanford Stadium does not have the room to accommodate its home crowd, plus 8,000 visitors. So what do? We go to folding chairs.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to be capacity? Yeah, because Notre Dame doesn't come every year. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. And so I do expect it to be capacity, but I also expect it to be a really good game.
And by the way, it's not going to be folding chairs. Temporary aluminum bleachers are going to be installed on the West End Plaza underneath the scoreboard at the backs of sections 143 and 139. So basically, you guys, and that you're going to be like packed in like sardines over there, but get ready for it.
Well, and you know, again, they're going to try to accommodate as many people as they can, but you know there'll be people who will be complaining, Mike, I think, when it's all said and done, because they'll be like, oh, this is crap. Either way, that game's a week away or so. You still have a game on Saturday that you have to deal with, and that is Arkansas State. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I don't want to disrespect any opponent because we've seen this, you know, in the past where you go into a game and you are better than the team you're playing, but you don't play like it. And on any given Saturday, that can happen. I don't expect that to happen with the Dogs. Everything that Kirby's been saying, Mike, has kind of been like, well, not good enough. Well, he needs to be better. Nope, we can block better. Even though they've handled their business in the first 2 weeks, it's kind of like, well, we still got a long way to go. He's not letting up.
No, and again, anytime anyone had an individual achievement, whether it's one of the rookie linebackers, he goes, well, who are they going up against? Again, it's more Ray Goff, but bear with me. But Kirby did say that he is keeping guys on their toes. You expect that. It's just like everything Nick Saban does, Kirby does. Pruitt's trying to do what they're both doing, and he's not doing any of that. But Kirby does get everything that Saban does. And you hear that in the message when he speaks with the media. Real quick, from the Macon paper, nobody got to see Isaiah Wilson yesterday. We're waiting to see if he's out there today. Still means Cleveland and Mays. You know, that means Max Cleveland and Cade Mays will be out there doing their thing. Ben Cleveland, I should say, doing his thing. They've got the depth, obviously, for Arkansas State. I still think they're going to be able to run the ball effectively against Notre Dame. You and I talked about this yesterday. I think, yes, the look ahead is human nature, but I don't think Kirby's going to allow that to seep in.
No, and I don't either. I really believe they'll be focused, and you take care of business. And, you know, Mike, to be honest with you, this is another game like Murray State where you should get a lot of guys in, hopefully, if you handle your business and you're up in the game like they should be. Hey, our dog report is brought to you by our friends at Cool Ray.
Yeah, man, turn to the pros at Carrier and Cool Ray. It's brought to you by this unbelievable lifetime warranty, guys. Parts and labor, just what it says. A lifetime warranty on your new AC unit from Cool Ray. Now, we talk a lot about analytics. We're just having a conversation about, you know, how it's being used in baseball. To some people's like John Smoltz and Tom Glavine chagrin, and our chagrin, a lot of chagrin, when it comes to football, Carl. What about analytics? It's kind of funny. Kirby was talking to Seth Emerson, and the comments that came out from The Athletic are pretty funny about just how much they use. And he does say that, yeah, we'll use analytics. They say they do use it, Carl, in every aspect of football. For instance, the GPS thing. Everybody's got a little sensor on. We get to track his speed. That was kind of interesting. They talked about a guy that was running 19 miles per hour, now running 17. You can see that in practice if they're struggling in the heat. They said, for instance, James Cook. He was not fully back from his ankle surgery because his GPS marks were short of what they had done pre-surgery. So they basically set a baseline for almost all these guys, and then they were able to look at it. So in the case of performance and knowing a guy's not right, the numbers do not lie.
It's interesting because football, I think, has become more of this. It's not as prevalent as it is in baseball, but you're seeing more and more of this kind of stuff. You really are. And you know, I mean, it's one thing to talk about plays and down and distance and tendencies, which has always kind of been a part of the game. But I think this type of analytics is something that's new and catching on.
And one of those analytics, the Havoc Rate. Cry Havoc! Havoc loose the dogs of war. Yeah, the Havoc Rate, it was pretty interesting. They said smart. Kirby saying they did studies of the top 10 teams last year in the Havoc Rate. He also mentioned looking at the top 20 in tackles for loss. How do you do it? You start learning that, and you try to put in some of the things those other teams are doing. So the goal they emerged with was 20% of defensive plays should include a, quote, ball disruption. That is a takeaway, pass breakup, or a tackle for loss.
Yeah, I talked about this a few weeks ago when I said Alabama and Clemson were better at these things than the Dogs were. it's one thing that the Dogs had to do better if they're going to be in a national championship this year.
A lot of that is pass pressure and sacks, right?
It is. Clemson and Alabama, specifically those two teams, which has obviously played in the national championship the last few years, but they are better and have been better at creating pressure, tackles for loss, turnovers, fumbles, all the little things that you go, well, how does that add up to the end of the season? So because of that, that was the one number that Kirby's really hit on in this offseason, and that gets back to this whole havoc rate. And we said, we'll talk about it all season. They've been able to get pressure. Remember, Murray State, fumble, get on it. They picked it up, scoop and score. Those are the kind of plays that make the difference. And, Mike, remember the year they make the run to the national championship? Mm-hmm. You're getting, even the Notre Dame game, third down, you need a stop. They were getting off the field. Those plays are the ones that have to be made.
Hey, man, more on Kirby talking to the media yesterday. He was asked, obviously, it was a kind of a hot-button story, the Texas LSU air conditioning flap, because Ed Orgeron said, no AC. And they said they were anticipating that because Louisiana Tech had played at Texas, so they kind of knew what to expect. Kirby says, quote, some of the SEC facilities, Carl, on the road, y'all should go around and do a story on, because there's not a very good locker room in the SEC on the road. He says they're mostly the old 60s and 70s locker rooms from stadium to stadium. Kirby added, it'd be a nice little story. Some of the places that I've been to and the dungeons you've been in, they're not high quality, and I'm not picking on other places because it's not very good here. They're just not very nice. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, man.
And that's your prerogative. No one said you got to give them a Taj Mahal when the other team rolls in.
No, listen, your home locker room should be like the Ritz, okay? The opposing locker room, it's like a guest room when you go to somebody's house. It doesn't look like the master bedroom.
Wait, this isn't a queen bed. These are just two twin beds stuck together.
You know what I mean? Jahi, you know what I'm saying? You go to somebody's house, it's like, you can sleep in there. And you're like, all right, it's a bed. All right, I'm not providing you with a full cable access and a 50-inch TV.
Excuse me, you're out of toilet paper?
I'm not doing all that. So I think the opposing locker room is the same way. I hear Ed Orgeron, but you know what, Ed? Y'all won the game.
Damn it.
And just be quiet.
Hey, man, some of the other storylines out there. Alabama, we already talked about yesterday. Nick Saban not happy with the early starting times. Kirby, by the way, says it's fine. Gives him more time with his family once he's done with the game. So he's cool with it. Also, from around the world of college football, a guy that really did help to put Oklahoma State football back on the map, T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah, man.
A billionaire oil tycoon who was super invested in the Cowboys and basically spent money out of his own pocket to keep things rolling. Big fan, by the way, of I'm a man. I'm 40. Well, now he's, what, 48? Big fan of the coach, Mike Gundy. T. Boone Pickens passed away at age 91.
If you've never been and you want to do a college football tour, maybe you're going around all the stadiums and you go to Oklahoma State, that's all T. Boone. He spent all the money to make and upgrade those facilities. And, you know, every school has that one amazing booster. He was that dude, and he will certainly be missed. But he's left a lot of money, Mike, to the school still. I mean, they're going to be seeing his money for a long time.
And one more nugget from Saturday Down South real quick. There's not more than one person, but Dave Hooker just wrote, he's convinced that Philip Fulmer wants to coach the Vols again, and he's going to still try to get his hands on the program.
Ooh.
And the way things are going with Pruitt, it just might happen. Now, remember, Fulmer did lobby to get Pruitt in there.
All right, Monster Jam fans, go to our contest page, 929thegame.com, for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets. Monster Jam, triple threat. It's the Triple Threat Series, September 13th through the 15th at Infinite Energy Arena. Tickets available at MonsterJam.com. Our Falcons special guest is next.
I'm not saying anything.
We are awaiting our special guest from our Atlanta Falcons game day Sunday night. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. And Eagles-Falcons pregame 6:20, kickoffs 8:20. Join 92.9 The Game this Sunday starting at 4 for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford and Jim Beam. It's Hugh Douglas, Andy Bunker, broadcasting live off of Northside Drive across the street from the Gold Deck. So go by and say hello to my guys. Mike and I were just talking about this Antonio Brown thing as we await our guest. And I said to Mike, because the new news, because it seems like there's something every hour, the accuser of these allegations, Brittany Taylor, has come out and said, I took a lie detector test. And her attorneys basically are saying it proves that she's telling the truth.
Well, I don't think Antonio Brown's lawyers, from what I've read, deny that there were relations in there. Whatever, there's sort of blurred lines between professional trainer / lover that apparently, according to some of us who have read this, kind of get the intimation that perhaps, now again, he's not married, but it's the baby mama of Antonio Brown, maybe signed off on some of this. Maybe she didn't. Or perhaps, according to Antonio Brown's very vulgar tweets or emails that were then tweeted by Nick Underhill, who got access to it from the lawyer, he intimates that the alleged victim's mom apparently got in her head with the idea of getting in his pocket. Either way, the NFL is going to talk to her, to the lawyers, and eventually maybe get around to talking to Antonio Brown about this. Bill Belichick had
nothing to say about this.
And he was practicing today wearing the number one, by the way, for the Patriots.
Two incidents of sexual assault allegedly carried out by Antonio Brown. Again, I use the word allegedly because this is not a criminal case.
Well, I mean, it's hard to get your head around the nature of the association. You know, I mean, if a man you don't know sexually assaults you, that's rape. You know, if a guy you're in a relationship with, I mean, that's where the lines get blurred. And again, we've talked so much about this. No certainly still means no in this world. And women who have had to suffer under this and they're finally getting their day, which is due. But there's also women, unfortunately, will take this and turn this into a money grab. And I don't know what this is right now, to be quite honest.
Now,
I just know that everybody, it's easy to pile on Antonio Brown because he looks absolutely as big a jerk as you thought he might have been because of Hard Knocks or what happened with the Steelers. When you read the text of these emails, it comes off like an even bigger classless act.
Well, I was trying to decipher some of this, and I tweeted this last night, and guys were like, "Dukes, I don't even understand this. Like, I'm having a tough time reading through this." I did too. I'm trying to decipher what he's trying to say, but the thing that bothered me the most, I guess, Mike, was this whole thing about how, you know, he basically did something without her consent, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so you're in the same room, and you and I were talking about this, and you said, unless she was unconscious, which then that kind of explains things right as to why he might have been able to take advantage of her in the sense that he did, or at least that she's claiming. But that was the part where I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You pull it out, sorry, and things happen. And she just let you, and then she says it was not without her consent? That's the part I'm like, wait a minute.
The most important part for Antonio Brown is, guys, and if you're just tuning in or you're under a rock this morning about this, because, again, and we are, by the way, we talked about 9/11, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the program for guys who don't want to think we're not thinking about some of the bigger issues today. But the Antonio Brown thing is obviously sweeping the NFL world. The DA in Pittsburgh, in Allegheny County, says he's going to start looking into this because one of the alleged sexual assaults happened in his county.
Right.
So then if he brings criminal charges, that's a whole other ball of wax. Then the NFL would put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and then the Patriots don't have Antonio Brown. Right now, it's just a civil suit. And there was a different precedent for this. You know, the Ezekiel Elliott thing was criminal charges that were dismissed. I'm not sure how they move on. You could argue the optics would say, well, I'm going to suspend him anyway. But the Players Association would probably come back. And Antonio Brown, after all he went through with a helmet, you think he's going to, whatever the CBA language is, he's not going to take this lying down. He's going to sue the NFL seven ways to Sunday.
Now,
and this is their 100th anniversary season. All they want to do is talk about football, and they got all the worst things in Antonio Brown's life coming out for everybody to talk about.
Yeah, I also think, though, it is Dukes and Bell. And again, awaiting our Falcon player here, it's guys just get back into the locker room, and we'll talk to one of our players here and coming up in just a few. But, Mike, the other thing, though, is as you talk about this with Antonio Brown, the Patriots could easily just make a decision if they wanted to. Whether, you know, and once the investigation comes back, and maybe they find out enough to say, you know what, this is a problem, and this is probably going to be an issue for us as an organization.
And there's a morals clause and all this
absolutely
stuff. They'll be out in a minute.
But they could do that if they wanted to. I just think Belichick is choosing not to, and he's not rushing to judgment, and I don't think you should either, as I said today. You know, we're all so quick to do this, no matter what you may think of Antonio Brown, and do I think he's an idiot and some of the things that he's done? Yeah, absolutely. But it's played out now in the media, and it's played out publicly. But I'm not going to be the first guy to tell you that he's guilty of this because I don't know and I wasn't there. But I'm curious to see how the Patriots ultimately handle this and the NFL. Again, here is another test of a different type
right
for the National Football
League. But as I said on my Twitter page, Carl has put him up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. As I said on Twitter, I go, look, this is still America. You're innocent until proven guilty. And even though he looks like one of the bigger jerks in pro sports these days, this is still a civil suit. And the best we can tell, and as Carl said, it's very difficult to try to figure out just what the nature of the relationship was. But there seems to be one. It was a combination of a personal trainer, and they might have had relations over the course of 2 or 3 years. So this is going to be for the civil suit. See how it plays out. But the NFL will talk to her. They will talk to the lawyers. And then will Roger Goodell act and then suspend? Because let's be honest. Now, above all this, You think they'd like to stick it to Bob Kraft and the Patriots one more time?
Well, that's the irony.
Because that's what everybody's talking about today. Oh, I can't wait to see the Patriots get hosed because you hate the Patriots and you're sick of them. But as bad of a guy as Antonio Brown looks like, he still deserves the benefit of the doubt, even in this situation.
But you're not going to stick it to the Patriots. The Patriots will let him go before that.
I agree with you.
They'll be done with this. And the Patriots organization is not going to be hurt by this.
If on the hook for anything.
Yeah, if that's your goal. But I also think that's the other quandary in this. The Patriots have been involved in so much stuff over the years, and a lot of people think that they have been punished unfairly. I'll be honest with you, and you guys know I don't like them. Deflategate was a joke.
Waste of time.
It was a joke. But the NFL needed to, you know, press its point and do what they needed to do. So now you have a situation with the player, but at the end of the day, they can just simply wash their hands and be done. This is not going to affect the organization. Bob Kraft is not going to get a big fat fine. This is not that kind of situation. The team has to decide whether they want to deal with this moving forward or not. And if they do, then they'll ride.
And the big picture with the NFL, as we discussed last week, I mean, with all the things that have gone on and all the stupid things that Roger Goodell has screwed up, and, you know, between the, you know, take your pick of any embarrassing scenario with a player with violence against women or you name it. The NFL is an unbeatable brand, but it is driving them crazy, as Nancy Armour wrote in USA Today, that they want to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the league, and you got Antonio Brown splattered all over the headlines today, Carl.
You do. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I will say this, though, and it happened last Sunday and Monday, and it'll happen again this Sunday and Monday. The games are what it's about. And when the games are playing and we're entertained and we're watching and you're engaged and you're worried about your fantasy scores or whatever else you're talking about, that's what matters. And the numbers were off the charts last week for the first weekend of the season.
And there were some great games. Not ours, but there were some really great games.
So, I mean, as much as it is a distraction and we're talking about it because it is a story and it's, you know, we're curious to see what the NFL is going to do. When the games play, that's all that matters to us. So I do agree that they would like to maybe be focused on some of this other stuff that they're trying to promote with the 100th anniversary. But I don't think it's going to matter big picture, Mike. We'll look up at the end of the year, and all these games will still be the highest rated stuff.
By the way, you think your wife would be cool if you had like a trainer that you know you could get you in shape and knock boots with every now and again?
So one of my best friends, and this is going to sound crass, but I'm going to tell this story because we were talking about this last night with a couple of buddies of mine. He's a prominent attorney in Texas, and he's got a big firm, and he's got a lot of people that works for him. And we talk about this because we jokingly always say, all right, so, you know, you hired a new secretary.
Right.
And guys always go, all right, so what's she look like? And his thing is, and kind of it's funny, but it's not, Mike, when you're in these situations, and I'm not saying this applies to everybody, but some men can't handle being around attractive women. And so when you put yourself in that situation, meaning you hire somebody that you might be attracted to and now you're in close proximity every day, and oh, by the way, now she's touching on you and rubbing on you, it might become an issue. Some guys can't handle that, and yet they still put themselves in that situation. And he said to me, he said, I don't do that. I'm not hiring those kinds of individuals. I'm not telling you people can't do the job. I'm going to hire qualified people, but I'm not going to hire people that I might find myself attracted to. It's one of the most interesting things because you don't think about that stuff every day, but then the next thing you know, you put yourself out there and some stuff happens.
And I told you about that wedding I had to attend. It was very awkward because you had the guy that put himself exactly, Carl, in that position.
In that position.
Who's an attorney, happens to be an attorney in Washington, and did wind up having a relationship, and it destroyed his marriage. So guys got to make better decisions out there. We all know that one. But this Antonio Brown thing is just so bizarre because now we're trying to find out just what exactly was this all about. Some people, as you said, don't care one iota because, as you said, it's all about football, and there's been some really great football played so far. But in there's the guy is just one of those name brands in the league. I mean, we were so excited about Hard Knocks, and they always seem to miss every Antonio Brown story. Everything would break the day after they broke the new episode. So they were always behind in catching the story. And then he gets into it with Mayock, and the cameras aren't even rolling, you know, and now onto the New England Patriots. So it's just been again, it's all the headlines that Goodell and those guys don't want. But as you and I just touched on, nothing can derail the NFL, save for the Kaepernick thing with a few diehards. I told that story. I was at a Braves game on Friday, and one of the gentlemen I had sitting to my right, we were chatting about the homestand, with the Nationals and everything, and I said, you're going to be here all weekend? He goes, yeah, I'll be here on Sunday. And I said, what about the Falcons? He goes, well, I don't watch since the Kaepernick thing. Guy's taking knees.
Yeah.
And I was like, Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those people do exist in this world. You and I have always felt that was a very small minority, but they are still out there. But even that doesn't derail the NFL from being the top-rated TV show, well, the top 25 rated TV shows every year.
It didn't hurt it. And again, you have a, if you feel that way, so be it. But, yeah, it didn't hurt the product, which is the games itself. Here's the other thing, too, about Antonio Brown. If for whatever reason this doesn't work out, and again, don't know where it's going. Let's just say the Patriots go, we're done. Where else is he going? He just voided basically a $30 million deal. He got $9 million plus incentives. It could be up to 15 with all the things if it works out. But let's just say it doesn't. Where does it go?
I don't know where you go from here, man. And I don't even know, yeah, I don't know what the next stop would be on the Antonio Brown train.
This is it. This is it. If anybody's going to give you a shot, it's that organization that has given second chances to a lot of clowns that turned out to be really good football players for him. But that's the thing, Mike. I don't know if he's done at that point, if this doesn't work out and the Patriots at some point go, we're done with this.
Well, again, the NFL, as we told you guys, are going to investigate. I will say this. There's always one last landing spot in the NFL. You know what it is? Cincinnati Bengals, because they're so cheap. And
yeah.
They always get guys on the cheap.
Yeah.
And they've never had issues taking guys. They always find guys who fall in the draft. They've been like Boys Town over the years. That's how the way the Brown family that owns the team runs it. So that would be one spot.
But don't you think every owner in the NFL is said, if it's going to work, it's the only place it's going to work is there?
Yeah, I mean, because Belichick and the culture, where guys all fall in line, you know, whether it was Corey Dillon. Again, I never thought Randy Moss was a bad guy. I just thought he quit on the Raiders. But, you know, whatever the perceptions were, those guys got right on line and they did the job. And sometimes those guys don't work out. Remember, they gave Haynesworth another run up there in New England. That didn't pan out.
Guy hits us up on Twitter. He says, Dukes, Bell, wouldn't it be a little bit hypocritical if Bob Kraft was going to suspend him, considering he was at a massage parlor? Hey, what's good for the boss is not good for everybody else. Okay?
The golden rules. Bob's got the goal. A lot of people do say Bob's lawyer should be on this Antonio Brown case, truth be told.
All right, man. We got plenty more to get to, guys. Again, awaiting the phone call of one of our Atlanta Falcons. So stay tuned. They're getting some stuff done. We'll talk to them. Falcon Report is on the way, and Mike and I will get a little bit more in-depth into what to expect as the Eagles head football coach Doug Peterson spoke today. So did Dan Quinn. Matt Ryan, matter of fact, at the podium just a few minutes ago, was asked about the Eagles, Mike, and, you know, he says, listen, we're familiar with them. And he's right. We've played them now the last few years, whether it's been in the regular season or, for the most part, in the playoffs. We've come up short.
Well, it was the red zone performance. You know, a lot of that was blamed on Steve Sarkisian. You know, we just couldn't seem to get the connection between Matt and Julio. Now, Matt and Julio did connect late in the game, and not everybody saw it because the game was well over by then. But, you know, in this offense, using your weapons, getting the ball, I must see more Ridley, more Julio, more Sanu. I know Hardy's still out there, and I know the cutter likes Hardy, but still. There were some personnel groupings that kind of had us scratching our heads. But everything you wanted to do in the first place, even Devontae, maybe Free will get into a better rhythm in this game, but it's kind of hard to see you moving Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan off the spot if you're going to run between the tackles.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. They're physical. There's no doubt about it. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick one. We'll come back. Hopefully we'll hear from one of the top five players, top five paid players, Mike.
That's correct, sir.
Yes. Tongue twister there. Say that fast.
One of the top five paid players.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hey, man, we are going to tell you more about the Braves, guys. Interesting conversation Mike and I have had today about our Bravos as the magic number is now 9. Stay tuned. It's all on the way. It is Dukes and Bell. He's one of the best at his position in the National Football League. We made a deal for him to come here, Mike, and we went to the Super Bowl. He's been here ever since. And joining us right now on Dukes and Bell is our center, Alex Mack, who's a key cog on our offensive line, guys. Alex, appreciate you jumping on with us. I think a lot of people want to know what happened first and foremost before we look ahead to the Eagles last week with you guys up front with the pass protection and even the run game.
Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, no, we definitely did not show up and perform quite as we wanted to against Minnesota. I think turnovers was the big thing. And I think that's what we moved the ball. You can't turn the ball over. You can't not get points when you're in their end zone. So you're down early, you have to throw the ball, and just as an offense, we take care of the ball. I think that game would turn out much differently.
And that's the thing, Alex, you just touched on it. Once you get down, you're basically one-dimensional. That's a really good pass rush that you got going up against the Vikes. How did you guys feel, though? How was the continuity with all the new faces plugged in on the line?
It was the first outing with some new faces, yeah. I think we did pretty good. Unfortunately, we lost Chris Lindstrom for a little while, and so hopefully he can come back. But it was, you know, James Carpenter stepped up, played real well. We had Caleb over there at tackle. He did a pretty good job. Ty got in there. So we had a good rotation of guys that all through the preseason got a lot of reps. And so the next guy up with Lindstrom should do a good job.
Alex Mack joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys, talking about the Falcons getting ready for the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. How many of those offside penalties was a result of something you did? Was that just the mat with the snap count, or was that something that you were doing up front?
We can't give away all our secrets on there. I mean, okay. We're going to keep something again. Right. They were trying to get it after the pass rush pretty good. We changed up the snap count a lot to really try to keep them honest, and it worked. So I think if we get into that situation again, we'll definitely do that again.
It is Alex Mack. And again, that's a tough place to play. We talked about a road win in the NFL, which I think, you know, some fans, and we've said it, they think it's kind of a Madden game. But, you know, once you get the turnovers, everything kind of goes out the window. Do you feel, I know it was a lot, maybe a little too late, but you felt you did get some rhythm, some positives you can take from this?
We got some movement of the ball. We moved the ball pretty well. I think the big thing for us will be not turning the ball over, staying multidimensional. You know, towards the fourth quarter, we had to pass the ball. Like, they knew we had to pass, we had to do that. And we want to be able to get the run established and really get after them there. But when you have turnovers like that, it's just tough.
Alex, how was your game shape, man? I mean, a lot of cats did not play in the preseason. Obviously, you're an experienced guy. You know, Dan Quinn said he was going to hold out most of his major players. You were one of them, and then you get into a real game. What is that adjustment? Because, again, now it's, you know, you're trying to sustain drives, you're on the field. What's the difference in how good of shape you felt like in game one versus, you know, in the preseason?
It's tough. It's definitely tough to try to get those game reps, not expose yourself to injury in the preseason, but be able to be in shape and game shape for the season. So it's a real tough middle ground. I think it comes down to, like, working at practice, getting extended drives there, really trying to get your cardio going and getting that go. For O-linemen, it's tough because it's not just running. It's running and pushing somebody.
Right.
So it's a different, like, in off-season, I can run for days, but, like, you get into the first couple of days of practice, and you're exhausted because it's just different. So you have to be in football game shape, and it's tough. And so these first couple games, getting into that game shape, and at the same time, the defenses you face are as healthy as they're going to be. Everyone's rested from the preseason. Everyone's ready to go. Everyone's moving fast. So it's definitely a challenge early in the year.
It is Alex Mack, guys, six-time Pro Bowler and a member of our team that went to the Super Bowl. Alex Mack joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline live from Falcons. All right, big guy, you talked about it. Lindstrom, we're not going to see him till like week 10 at the earliest. So Jamon Brown and Carpenter flanking you. That's a lot of meat, though. You got to feel good about the beef on both sides.
We got some weight in the in the middle there. We got some beef. I think we're looking good. You know, both of those guys just slimmed down a bit when they got here, able to run the outside zone. So we hope still be fast, but we still got that strength.
Alex, let's talk about the Eagles' defensive line, because we know this is a very talented team up front. Now, we just played one in Minnesota, and you guys got a chance to see how talented they were. What do you make of this front seven for the Eagles?
It's tough. They do a really good job. They're a different style of play than we saw last week. They have a different front, and they play a little differently. They're very much uphill, shoot the gaps, downhill, hit you kind of team, and they have wide edge setters. So it's going to be a real challenge to try to get our outside zone going with the guys who just want to kind of box everything in. And then at the same time, when they're trying to hit you downhill, trying to meet that and play on that side of the ball, it's definitely a challenge.
So you got Fletcher Cox across from you, and you got, again, for Caleb McGarry, that's going to be a real test for a rookie with the things they're going to throw his way.
Yeah, they got some good, talented guys on the edge, and then Fletcher Cox is one of the best guys to do it. So he's a big, talented guy with a lot of power and been around the league a lot, so he's got the savvy as well. So it's going to be a challenge. We got our work ahead of us.
Alex, guys are hitting us up, and they're asking the question. They're like, Dukes and Bell, make sure you ask Alex. Was it more about technique, or was it simply just, as you said, is it simple as saying, hey, we don't turn the ball over, we're scoring a lot more points last week? Because a lot of guys felt like, you know what, maybe it's the technique and leverage and all of this stuff. What's being preached this week by the coaching staff?
I think details. I think it comes down to not turning the ball over, absolutely taking care of that, but then just doing the details to enable you to things. So, like, if there's a late pressure because someone did the wrong thing, that, and then that leads to a turnover. It's not just like don't turn the ball over. It's do your job, be where you're expected, be dependable, and keep things much much cleaner as an offense. And so if we clean up all the little things, take care of the ball, we can run our offense the way we want to.
I know that Dan Quinn was ticked off. We heard that in the press conference. Obviously, you guys are not happy on that flight back, and now you're turning it around. We all talked about the Eagles. Is there any extra juice with Sunday night, knowing that it's the big national audience and everyone's watching?
I think it being the first home game, home opener in front of our crowd, we have a lot to that we want to, you know, come back and kind of redeem ourselves and play better. So I think it's going to be a high-energy game for sure.
We appreciate you, bro. Thanks for jumping on with us. Good luck on Sunday. We'll be cheering you guys on, man. And thanks for stopping by the program.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No doubt. Alex.
Alex Mack, guys, our center. He's good at his job, but he's right. Across the board, as a group, a collective group, everybody's got to play better. And Mike's been talking about it. I mean, you know, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, these guys, Jernigan's in there. Now, they did have a major injury, but I still think, Mike, even with that, they're still one of the best D-lines we're going to see.
Malik Jackson, yeah, but they still got some size in the middle, and that's the thing. And you heard about him, you know, the wide technique, so basically coming at you. So, again, for McGarry, Sunday Night Football, national TV audience, an Eagles team that's won a Super Bowl that we have been going round and round with now the last three of the last 4 years. So, as Alex also pointed, a lot of familiarity. They know what we do. We know what they're going to try to do.
All right, man. Join Andy Bunker and Hugh Douglas. Falcons Friday kickoff rally presented by SunTrust, located at Atlantic Station. It's off of Tower Street. Starts at 7 o'clock. Special appearances by the Falcon players, Freddie the Falcon, cheerleaders, and more. More details on the events page at 929thegame.com.
And again, I don't know if you look at what can you take from any of preseason other than perhaps when you look at McGarry and the new guys plugged in, quicker passes, Matt hitting the guys, quick hits out of the backfield, the dreaded dirt cutter wide receiver screen. I don't know, but maybe try to get guys out in space, get them out of away from that big tangle. And then how do we establish the run game too? Does Ito Smith become a better weapon? Can Free do his thing because he's kind of doing like that funky chicken back there and not getting up and down?
We're going to talk more about it coming up in our Falcon Report, guys. The one thing that we're paying attention to and something that I want you to pay attention to on Sunday night, we'll tell you what the Falcons are asking of their fans as well. It's all on the way. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.